Sometimes you just don't know what to pray for. It's a rotten, broken world. It's subject to futility and in bondage to decay, is the way Paul put that. It's a rotten, broken world, and bad stuff happens all the time. Disappointment, heartache, grief, sickness, pain, death, injustice, persecution, wars, you name it. The list could go on and on and on. Suffering. It's inevitable, and you can't avoid it. The question is not, will you suffer? Everybody's going to suffer in some way. The question is, will you suffer with Christ? Will you stay faithful to him? Will you go on trusting him? Will you keep walking with him even when the bad stuff comes your way? In verses 18 to 39 of Romans chapter 8, Paul is out to help us to do just that. He's out to help you face your suffering without quitting on Jesus. And last time we were together, we looked at verses 18 to 25, where Paul did three things. First of all, he put our suffering into context. We suffer because we live in this rotten, broken world, and he told us why it's like that. He said, it's God's doing. He subjected the world to futility. It's God's righteous judgment for Adam's sin. And he reminded us to keep looking past our present suffering to that inheritance we have coming. One day it will be ours and the suffering will end. He told us that inheritance is so wonderful that there can be no comparison. One day we look back and the suffering will seem like nothing compared to the glory that's to come. Look up, he said, look forward and persevere. And then he pointed out something very interesting about ourselves, something that's true of every Christian. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And the more we go on, the more keenly aware we become of the sad state of this world that we live in. And the more we become aware of that, the more we yearn for our inheritance. A new heaven and a new earth and a new perfect sinless body and the beauty, the perfection, the joy of the glory of God. The more we go on, the more our hearts ache and grieve and groan within us at the state of things. We're longing for that future inheritance. So three things there to help you. Know that suffering is inevitable. Don't be surprised by it when it comes. Keep your eyes on main beam, look up, look forward, remember where you're headed, persevere and press on eagerly. But remember too, it's okay to grieve. This world and the way it is not what you were made for. It is a sad, broken world. So grieve, it's okay. That grief, that dissatisfaction, that yearning, that groaning that wells up in your heart, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, stirring you up to look forward to your future inheritance, stirring up hope to help you keep going and keep you walking with Jesus through the bad days and the dark days. Is that your experience? When the hard times hit you, does your heart ache and yearn? Does your heart groan within you, longing for glory? And then do you fix your eyes on the inheritance and persevere and press on eagerly, still trusting Jesus? I've got to labor this, I think, because some of you, when the hard times hit, you react in all kinds of ways, but not in the way we've been talking about. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes bitterness, sometimes blame, self-pity, gloom, moodiness, despair, depression, hopelessness. And you see, if that's how you react when the bad stuff happens, you're in danger. You're in danger of turning away from Jesus. I know that's not what you would intend to do, but you are in danger of it. Because when you get into that frame of mind, the devil is going to tempt you and distract you and drag you off. You're in great danger. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. So watch out. There's help here to face your suffering when it comes. Don't turn your back on this help. Pay heed to it. These are things you need to do. Spirit stirs our hearts to groan and directs them to look forward. But there's another way that the Spirit helps us, and that brings us to the verses we're going to look at this morning, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes, on the worst days, when that suffering is particularly intense, or when somebody else is suffering, somebody you love, or when you see some atrocity reported on the news, or when there's some other reminder of just how rotten this old world is, and when your heart is breaking, sometimes, at times like that, you just don't know what to pray for. Sickness comes. Well, do I pray for healing? Or do I pray for the grace to endure this sickness? Or do I pray for deliverance? Or do I pray that the Lord would help me die well and bring glory to him in my death? What's God's purpose in this sickness? I don't know. What should I pray for? Disaster looms. There's a war threatening. Thousands are in peril. Do I pray for God to avert the disaster? Or do I pray that he'll use it to humble sinful people and bring them to repentance? Why has God allowed this to come about? I don't know. What should I pray for? It looks like persecution is just around the corner. Do I pray for God to change the minds of those who have it in for the church? Do I stand up in public and argue my case and pray that God will make my arguments effective? Do I call in the Christian Institute and drag those people who have it in for Christians off to court? Do I pray for victory? Or do I pray, Lord, well, bring it on and strengthen your church through the hardship that's coming? What do I pray for? I'm threatened with physical harm, or imprisonment, or death, or my loved ones are threatened. Do I pray, Lord, give me grace and strength to stand firm in defiance and take the consequences? Do I sacrifice my life in his service? Or do I pray, Lord, open up a way of escape and then take to my heels and run? Lots of times, maybe most of the time, I know what I should pray for. I have clear commands in God's word to guide me, but sometimes I don't know what to pray for because I don't know what God's purpose is in the things that are happening. I want to pray for God's will to be done. That's the way we always should pray, not my will, but yours. I want to pray prayers that will get results. But what is God's will? How should I pray when I don't know what to pray for or what to do? You've experienced that, haven't you? Somebody's sick. You've heard some bad news. You're in pain. You're maybe lying awake at night, tossing and turning, unable to rest or think straight. Lord, I don't know how I ought to pray. I don't know what to do. I can't see the way ahead. I know what I want, but Lord, what do you want? What are you doing, Lord? You're feeling lost and helpless and weak. And here Paul says, at times like that, the Holy Spirit helps us. He doesn't take away the weakness. He doesn't turn on a light that makes everything clear to us. But he comes alongside us and he helps us to shoulder the burden. And that's the picture Paul brings to mind with the word he uses when he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. He helps us. Here's how he does it. He prays for us. He makes intercession on our behalf. Paul says the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. In other words, he steps up and he speaks to God on our behalf. He assails God with petitions. That's what the word intercession means. We don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit, who knows perfectly what the will of God is, because he is God, he prays for us. When you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit sees to it. But look, this is important. When it says here that he prays for us, it doesn't mean that he steps into our shoes and does the praying instead of us having to do it. That's not how it works. There's more to it than that. It means he's interceding for us, yes. He's praying for our good and he's praying for our blessing. When you're suffering and distressed and you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit himself is praying for your greatest good. Let that thought sink in. It's a good one. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Or through wordless groans, is how the New International Version puts it. Or the English Standard Version, with groanings too deep for words. And that prompts a few questions, doesn't it? When this happens, who exactly is it that does the groaning? Is it me groaning or is it the Holy Spirit? And where does it happen? Is this something that goes on up in heaven? The Holy Spirit groans before the Father on my behalf and I know nothing about it. Or is it something that I know about in my own experience? It says in verse 27 that God who searches the heart hears these prayers. So I guess that this means that this groaning is something that happens in our own hearts. It's not a way up there in heaven. And as well as that, we've been told already that groaning is what people like us who have the Holy Spirit in our lives do. In verse 22, we know that the whole creation groans. And not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now, with those things in mind, here's what I think Paul is telling us about how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we're suffering, not knowing what to pray for or what to do, the Holy Spirit prays for us by stirring up groans deep within our hearts. Just like when he stirs our hearts to reach out to God as our daddy. Do you remember from verse 15, you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. He stirs up groanings. Now, when I say groanings, I don't mean complaints. It's not that kind of groaning. It's longing, yearning, aching, groaning for the inheritance, groaning for the glory of God, yearning for the perfection for which God has made us. It's grief over the way things are. It's moans, it's sighs, it's tears. It's grief that's so profound that you can't put it into words. You see the horrible things that are going on in this world and something deep down within your heart goes, oh! That's what we mean. The Spirit stirs our hearts with desire for the glory of God and we groan from the very depths of our beings. Do you ever find yourself praying like that? That's the Spirit. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. That's how the Holy Spirit prays for us. And then in verse 27, Paul tells us how God responds. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit stirs up these deep groanings within our hearts, and God, who searches the hearts, he's on the lookout for those groans, and he doesn't miss them, and he's not confused by them, because he knows what the mind of the Spirit is, he knows exactly what they mean, he knows the Spirit's intention, he knows exactly what the Spirit is praying for, because what the Spirit is praying for is exactly and completely in accord with the will of God. He makes intercession for saints according to the will of God. Now, this is maybe hard to get your head around, but are you following it? When you're suffering and distress, you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit is stirring up that deep groaning in your heart. God, the Holy Spirit, is praying to God the Father for you. He's interceding for you. He's seeking God's blessing. He's pleading for your greatest good, and it's all perfectly in tune with the will of God. When God prays to God with prayers that are 100% in accord with the will of God, what do you think is going to happen? Would God ever say no to that prayer? Of course not. It's impossible. It wouldn't be possible. God would stop being God if that ever happened. The outcome will always be God's perfect will for you. Your greatest good, your highest blessing, your deepest joy. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's next week's verse. So, God prays to God for God's will to be done in the circumstances, and he does it by stirring up groanings in our hearts. Does that sound a wee bit bizarre to you? It sounds a little bit bizarre. I mean, why go through all of that? Why doesn't God just get on with it? Well, we've got to be careful questioning God's ways like that, even if they don't make sense to us. But if we're asking because we want to understand insofar as we can, it's okay to ask those questions, and I think we're not wrong in doing it. So let's think about it for a few minutes. Why this process? Why these groanings? I mean, does God need to be asked to do what he already wants to do and could just as easily do without being asked anyway? But God has ordained that his children should pray and ask for his will to be done. Those are the kind of prayers that God has promised to grant. God has ordained that his children should pray and ask for his will to be done, and he has ordained that his will be done in response to those prayers. And even when we don't know how to pray, his Spirit helps us to pray like we should. Why is that? Well, I think it's to do with God being glorified. It's about putting God's glory on display. It's about showing up what he's like and enjoying him. Isn't that the reason for everything? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, "If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus." With the ability that God supplies so that God is glorified. Everything we do for God has to be seen to depend on his help. Not us doing it in our own strength, but his strength, so that he gets all the glory for it. And that's what prayer does, you see, doesn't it? Every prayer is really saying to God, "Lord, we depend on you. We can't sort this out. We need you to intervene. Without you, this situation is hopeless." That's what prayer is all the time. It's, "Help me, help me, help me. Lord, I need your help. I'm weak. I need you. I can't do it. You must act. And when you act, the glory will all be yours. You'll be shown up to be a loving, gracious, merciful, and kind God." Every prayer declares that we depend on God. and none more so than the prayer that is so hard to put into words that you can't find the words to express it. Lord, I can't endure this suffering. Lord, I don't know the way. Lord, I don't even know what I should pray for. Oh. The prayer that comes out as a groan from deep down in your heart. The prayer that is prompted by the Holy Spirit himself, and the prayer to which God responds by leading us in his ways, even when we can't discern for ourselves what those ways are. And it all brings glory to God. We're so weak, and he steps in and does it all. He even does the praying for us. What a gracious God. What a loving Heavenly Father. And it all goes on in our hearts, not way up there in heaven. It all goes on in our hearts so that we know what's happening. And then we can rejoice in his goodness and sing his praises when we see the outcome of those groanings. Well, those are all big, big thoughts, I know. Take them home and wrestle with them. And as you do, marvel at the wisdom of God. Anyway, when you're suffering and distressed and in your weakness and you don't know what to do, you don't know even what you should pray for, when you see your loved ones suffering and you don't know how to pray, when you see suffering in the world and you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you by stirring up those deep groanings in your heart, and God, who understands the mind of the Spirit, hears the Holy Spirit's prayers in your groans, and he comes to the rescue, working everything for good to those who love him through the fulfillment of his perfect will. Now, I said that in these verses, Paul is out to help us persevere and to keep walking with Jesus and keep trusting him and stay faithful to him, even in our darkest days. So how does knowing what we've just been thinking about help us with that? Well, for one thing, it's a reminder that God isn't limited in the least by our ability to work things out. On those dark days when your heart is groaning and breaking, and you can't see the way ahead, and you can't discern God's will, and you don't know what you should pray for, and you don't know what to do, don't worry. Don't worry about that. You're not expected to know how to pray all the time. You needn't feel the burden of having to discern the will of God. God has made provision for those occasions. Sometimes you will know what to pray for, but when you don't, God's not just looking on and waiting for you to work it all out. And he's certainly not condemning you for not knowing how to pray the right things. His Holy Spirit is understanding and helping, and he's praying for you, and he's praying for whatever is God's perfect will for you. He's praying for what will in the end prove to be your greatest good and your highest joy. And God hears, and God never says no to the prayers of his Spirit. So be encouraged by that. Don't let those dark days when they come throw you into panic. Don't let them cause you to drift away from Jesus or sink into discouragement and despair. However confused you are, God's got it all sorted. And he has all the possibilities covered. And there's another thing I think that can help us here, and that is, don't be paralyzed by indecision. I've seen so many of God's children in that miserable condition. You know, I don't know what to do. Will I do this or will I do that? Will I go this way or that way? What's God's will? And what if I get it wrong? So they don't do anything. And they're stuck in grief and misery, wasting their lives for years on end, fearful of doing the wrong thing. If you don't know what to do, well, be faithful to God's word, of course, and do what you think is best, do what seems best, and trust God to work all the rest out, because he will. If the Holy Spirit is praying to the Father on your behalf, do you think God's going to allow you to mess things up and get it wrong? When you don't know, the Holy Spirit is praying for the right outcome and the right thing. And a third thing, even on your darkest days, your heart may be breaking and the groaning so intense that you can't eat or sleep, sometimes it is, but even in those days, you can be reassured that there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. Because even through those intense groanings that you feel deep down inside you and just can't put into words, even through those deep down groanings, the Spirit is praying, God's will be done. The very best outcome will come about. God will be glorified. And it will all be for your greatest good and your deepest joy. When you're suffering, and the suffering is hard, and your heart is yearning, weeping, breaking, groaning, it's okay. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. There's no need to fret, no need to be anxious, there's no need to fear. Just trust him, do what seems best, and keep walking with Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it is a sad, broken, horrible world. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed and our spirits groan within us. We praise you for the assurance here, Father, that we don't have to get it right, but that your Holy Spirit has it covered. Help us, Lord, to have confidence in him, in you, and to go forward trusting in you, confident in you that we have nothing to fear for the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.